David and Darren in the morning with our March Madness Spooktacular Patron Podcast.
How's your bracket going?
Well, the thing is, I did have UConn, but yeah. I had that in the women's tournament.
Yeah, you had the UConn women.
And that apparently doesn't do anything. This is not one of those podcasts where we're reviewing what we did on the radio. This is something we're making just for you.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Invite just everyone to listen to the March Patron Spooktacular. And welcome to it. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hello there, Darren.
Hello there, everyone.
And
hello, patrons.
Hello there.
Hello there to Marty Allen. He's not with us anymore, right?
No.
Okay. But that was a fairly recent development, was it not?
Okay.
He was with us until...
He wasn't.
Until he wasn't. Was it your dad that would say everybody was a regular Marty Allen, or do I have that wrong?
No, I don't think.
Who would say that guy's a real Marty Allen?
Did you just
make that up?
If anyone said it, it would have been my buddy Roscoe's dad.
That's right. Now I remember it being Roscoe's dad. Yeah. I knew it was a dad.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this guy's a regular Marty Allen over here.
Van Johnson.
Oh, now you're talking. Queen Elizabeth II. Now, she's another one that's not with us anymore.
No.
I'd like to think her and Marty Allen are hanging out in some sort of afterworld.
Should I go over and say something?
Hello there, Your Majesty.
Hello there.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
You know, that crown carries no weight up here.
No. This is something that happened in 1978, but we're just finding out about it now. When Queen Elizabeth II had a state visit to Germany.
In 78?
In 1978.
What a time.
Yeah.
Boy, I would have liked to have been on that trip.
Well, it's kind of a homecoming for her. Isn't her whole family German?
Is David Bowie here doing anything?
Where's Iggy Pop? Oh, you ridiculous Iggy Pop.
Can we go see David Bowie?
So it says here this is during her state visit to Germany in 1978. You know, I remember 1978. That would have been a state visit to West Germany, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not East Germany.
Many years before the reunification. I don't want to correct anybody, but if she's going to Berlin, that was on the good side. Queen Elizabeth II, when she did her state visit, according to Der Spiegel, which is the big magazine newspaper
which
of note over there.
Which stands for The Spiegel.
It's a weekly magazine over there. It's like they're...
Translated, The Spiegel.
Der Spiegel.
Yeah.
Der Spiegel is a German word for mirror. Mm. So it's the mirror. Der Spiegel is the mirror. You look at yourself in Der Spiegel when you're getting ready in the morning. So she's over there doing this state visit. It's 1978. And according to Der Spiegel, who are now feeling comfortable now that she's been gone a while reporting this news, she asked for a gift during her state visit.
That's strange. Typically, you would just be given one, wouldn't you?
You would think, right? If I'm going to Germany, tell them this is what I want. She wanted horses. Two horses.
You're going to fly the horses back from Germany?
None of this makes any sense, right? Tell them the queen requires horses.
English horses are trash.
Our horses over here are garbage. I want a proper German horse. Like, what the Sam Hill is...
Hello.
Yeah, what's going on with this woman? The expensive gift raised eyebrows amongst German bureaucrats at the time, who noted that the Holsteiner and Grey Elizabeth horses, horses that the Queen Elizabeth wanted, cost more than any other offering made to a visiting head of state since the end of World War II. Nevertheless, the then president of Germany, Walter Scheel, approved the gift in the interest of good bilateral relations. That's according to Der Spiegel's reporting, citing previously confidential archive papers. She wants these horses, and I don't know what to do with We bombed the hell out of them, and now they come over here and they take our horses. Magazine.
Yeah, he'd have been like Mr. Universe back then.
I wasn't trying to do an Arnold. I was just trying to do a regular German voice. Arnold Schwarzenegger's not German. He's Austrian.
Oh, that's right. He is Austrian.
Right. I was doing kind of like the Benny Hill German guy. Not this guy.
This is not this guy.
This is how I do my Austrian thing. But that's a separate country.
It is. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it that way.
Although there was an Austrian who wanted to make it all one country.
Let's learn from our mistakes.
The newspaper also reports in these once confidential papers that the Queen of England liked to have a gin and tonic to drink.
Okay.
And she had a real dislike for helicopters.
Like, as in, like, shoot down that helicopter? Or didn't want to ride in him?
That's right. She would demand that you shoot down any helicopter. Uh-huh.
Boy, don't take her to the Grand Canyon.
Go to the the chopper. Get her to the chopper. No, she's a... Get rid of the chopper. She's going to kill us all. No, it says...
But she loves choppers. The motorcycle.
What is that about?
A big fan of Easy Rider.
None of this makes any sense. Uh-uh. I don't like... I want... Thank you. You're a good horse. I don't like helicopters. Records show that the British Embassy had concerns about possible protests if Elizabeth were to visit Dresden during her trip in 1992. In the end, she did attend a church service and was largely welcomed by locals in the city that was flattened by Allied bombing raids during the war. You don't get to be upset about what we did to Dresden. Sorry. I mean, it wasn't great what we did to Dresden, but didn't start that stuff.
Yeah, we didn't start the fire.
Another sensitive issue during the trip was the question of whether Queen Elizabeth would make a speech at the Bundestag. Der Spiegel reporting that the Chancellor Helmut Kohl raised objections, possibly because of his lingering anger at Britain's efforts to block German reunification a couple of years earlier. Queen Elizabeth made 5 state visits to Germany. The most recent one would have been in 2015. They're only releasing files that are older than 30 years old. So what kind of nonsense she pulled in 2015, we'll have to wait.
Okay.
This report coming just days before King Charles III makes his first state visit to Germany. He was supposed to go to France first, but plans for that trip were postponed because France has got their own stuff going on right now. Mm-hmm. They are burning that country to the ground because they want to raise the retirement age. Retirement age. They want to increase it. Is it 62 now and they want to make it 64?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So this is not a good time for a king to be in France when they're rioting in the streets. There's a history of bad things happening to kings when they're rioting in the streets in France. The Britain royal family does have ancestral ties to Germany before changing their name to Windsor due to concerns about anti-German sentiment during World War I. The family bore the name Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, indicating their German heritage. Yeah, this Windsor thing... They just made all that up. They just made up their last name because it's like, a German name's probably not a good idea right now. I got a story here about...
They should have went with like Wintergreen.
Spearmint.
Spearmint or a Doublemint. I made the Doublemints.
You're the Prince of Hubba Bubba. Just... Everything's named after a gum.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to tell you how to do this this king stuff, but it seems to me, name it after...
Oh, dear Beecham!
All hail the king!
Oh, his majesty, Big Ling Chu is here. What about the king? A pod of hapless...
You've earned your fruit stripes!
A pod of hapless dolphins stranded by sea ice. This is in Dildo Bay, Newfoundland.
Oh, here we go. You got a guy.
Newfoundland, it's actually called Dildo Cove. I'm not sure that that's better. These dolphins swimming in circles away from worried onlookers trapped in an area about the size of a residential swimming pool. People say they hadn't witnessed stranded dolphins there at Dildo Cove for decades. It's been forever since we've seen stranded dolphins here at Dildo Cove. Three of the 10 dolphins were pulled out of the water by Fisheries and Oceans Canada officials, a process that requires workers and volunteers to submerge themselves in the frigid seawater in a bid to guide these dolphins closer to shore. That seems like a lot of work. Those three dolphins, by the way, that they pulled out of the water to save, all died before they could be relocated.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you gotta, before you pull them out, you gotta have a place to put them.
One of the dolphins had this to say.
Wet tanks for nutches!
The dolphins, the seven that remained, are unable to swim out of the open ocean due to an Arctic ice pack. And they're trying to figure out how to save these dolphins there in Dildo Cove. They're calling them up there, apparently, the Dildo Dolphins. How does Dildo Cove get the name Dildo Cove?
Was that during their undefeated season?
Dildo is I guess, a part of Newfoundland and Labrador. The name Dildo, they've called it that since at least the year 1711. They don't know how that came up with the word dildo. I don't quite understand how this works. It was once used to reference a phallus-shaped pin stuck to the edging of a rowboat to act as a pivot for the oar, known as the tholepin or dole pin. Yeah, I don't know. Dildo in Newfoundland and Labrador. Enjoy. The dildo area has a long history going back as far, it says here, as 2000 BC. Although, again, they weren't calling it dildo then.
How long a history?
It's very, very long. There's a story of these, you know, these Good Samaritans up there in Dildo trying their best to save these dolphins. Closer to home in Berlin, Maryland, a Good Samaritan found herself in a painful encounter with a great horned owl that she was trying to help. They say here that this couple was traveling there near the Assateague National Seashore Park.
The what?
The Assateague National Seashore Park. That's up there in Maryland.
Okay.
Assateague. Assateague National Park. How far is Assateague from Dildo? Good Samaritan found herself in a close and painful encounter with an understandably unappreciative great horned owl on Tuesday, trying to help the bird out.
It ain't that far away.
Tuesday morning, this couple noticed the owl on the side of the road. The bird appeared injured. They thought, well, okay, the owl's been hit by a car. So they stopped and placed the injured bird in their vehicle so that they could take it to, I guess, a park ranger? Once they arrived, the woman attempted to pick the owl up. This time, though, the owl was lying on its back with its legs raised. And as she reached down, the owl apparently latched its talons into her arms. Great horned owls are birds of prey, and they have a grip strength of over 500 PSI with talons up to 3 inches long. The owl then refused to let go of this woman. An ambulance and local biologists were called to assist in removing the bird. Before they arrived, however, a park ranger on the scene found nearby fabric and covered the bird's face to try and calm it down. And that tactic reportedly worked as the owl eased its grip on the woman, allowing her to escape. I would think if I were an owl and I had my talons in you and I was hanging on for dear life and then somebody tried to cover up my head, I'd go the other way. I'd be like, oh, no, it's game time now.
Yeah.
What are you trying to black bag job me?
Uh-huh.
I'm a great horn owl. I'm not taking this. Park Service says the woman was treated at the scene for her injuries but refused to be transported to the hospital. The owl was taken to the Tri-State Bird Rescue in Newark, Delaware, where it was examined by a wildlife veterinarian and a rehabilitation manager. They say that this bird had multiple grave injuries, including internal bleeding, fractures, and head trauma. And because of the severity of the injuries, is the owl going to be all right? No, the owl was humanely euthanized. Well, that sucks, but at least the owl went down swinging.
How did little snot-nosed Davey make his way on the set?
I'm always here. Not really in the Animal Farm. I don't know why I felt the need to throw him in there. Webb telescope photo.
Stay in your lane, little snot-nosed Davey.
Sorry. I'll only come when I'm summoned, Uncle Darren. The Webb telescope, which is just showing all kinds of really cool stuff there in outer space.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the latest development, this latest picture, but it turns out that our universe is warped, literally.
Oh, no doubt about it.
The James Webb Space Telescope is said to be the most powerful space observatory ever built. They pointed this big telescope, which orbits 1 million miles from Earth, at a cluster of galaxies 6.3 billion light years away. I didn't realize that this telescope's a million miles away from us, but I guess that's the best way to get rid of all the lights, huh?
Yeah.
So they've got this thing out there. It's a million miles away. They're able to then use it to look at different things. They point it at this cluster of galaxies 6.3 billion light years away. And as they're looking at these galaxies, they realize that things are like bending. It looks like some sort of psychedelic freak out, man. The galaxy cluster holds so much star and planetary weight that it is literally warping space. They say it's like a bowling ball sitting on a mattress. Mm. The warped cosmic area distorts and then magnifies the massive objects in the distance. That's pretty far out.
That is way far out.
Right?
A million miles.
Right? These are fans of far out is what these are.
If you were supposed to turn left at the moon, you overshot it.
Dig it.
I don't dig a lot of the establishment. Well, your ideas and values, they may work for you, but they don't all work for me. Mm. As far as I'm concerned, some are with it and well, some aren't.
I have a couple of people wondering if they're being jerks I wanted to share here on the Patreon show. Let's get started with this one. Am I a friend for telling my friend the truth about her proposal?
Okay.
These are two 28-year-old women.
Yes.
All right? She says, my friend and I have been friends ever since high school. Mm-hmm. And we've always done everything together. I've been dating my boyfriend for the past 6 years. One detail is she never wants to hang out when he is around.
Mm.
She always just says, why don't we let this be a girl's time?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
She's never had a real relationship, and usually she hangs out with married guys discreetly.
Oh, boy.
Until she met a great guy she really liked and was exclusive to. My boyfriend had proposed to me a year into our relationship. So we were technically engaged, but he recently proposed to me again and said he wanted to renew the engagement and do another surprise because it's been so long.
Okay.
It was a nice party, but my friend wasn't there. Later that night, he told me that he had contacted my friend to help with the arrangement and bringing me to the venue, but she refused to help him.
Not gonna do it.
Okay. Fine. Next thing I know, she keeps telling her man to propose. And when he refused, she organized a proposal and made him go down on one knee.
What?
I thought proposals were supposed to be voluntary, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
The dude just played along into her delusion. Later on, when she showed me her ring, the ring that she picked, and told me that it's prettier than mine, and that they were together for a year while we were together for six, but he had bought her a bigger one.
What do you think of that?
I straight up said to her, he didn't propose. You forced him to propose. You'll break up soon.
Yeah.
And then I just left. Am I the jerk here? What? How is this still a friend of yours?
Yeah, no kidding.
A lot of these stories are people that I don't understand why you're...
hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Oh, she's clearly a nutball.
Right? But also, just go away.
Yeah.
Clearly she's not your friend.
Hey, we're not going to be hanging out.
My engagement's better than yours.
It's not even a real one.
Then there's this one on the subreddit where people wonder if they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
She says, earlier tonight, this is a different story now, okay? This is a young woman and her boyfriend, and she's wondering if she made a mistake.
Yeah.
And it's pretty new to the relationship. She says, earlier tonight, I ordered a Hawaiian pizza with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We've only been dating for a month.
Yeah.
So it's the first time I ate pizza with him.
Yes.
We only finished about half the pizza, and then we went to watch TV. I was still hungry, so I ate all the toppings off the pizza. When he saw it, he absolutely flipped out.
Well, I mean, one more slice wouldn't do it, huh?
He said that he was saving it for lunch tomorrow and that he had never met anyone who would do anything like this.
It's different.
And was just generally really upset.
Huh.
I thought he was joking and laughed it off.
Yeah.
But it's been a couple hours and he's still upset. He's talking about how he was looking forward to having leftover pizza for lunch.
Yeah.
And now I've ruined his lunch. I offered to buy him another pizza, but he keeps saying it's not about that. And that I just ruined his day. Is he overreacting or am I the a-hole here?
Well, he's being a bit of a baby. There's no doubt about that. But what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, again, she goes online looking for some support and some backup.
Yeah.
Here's some of the takeaways. People saying things like, no, you're the jerk here, and this is truly unhinged behavior.
One more slice wouldn't do it, huh?
Someone else saying here, dude, honestly, this is like borderline criminal.
Yeah, it's different, that's for sure.
And then someone else offering this up. If you're still hungry, you eat another piece of pizza.
Right.
You don't ruin all of the remaining pieces.
Yeah, typically that's what someone would do.
Right. If it was like, hey, I was still hungry, so I ate the pizza. Okay, great.
Or even he ate the whole thing.
Right. What you've left here is a crime scene for me to clean up.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
But having said that, depending, I could look the other way.
No, honestly, if I was dating a girl and we had pizza and then she went off and polished off the rest of the pizza,
yeah.
I think I could only be impressed by that.
Wow, way to go.
Right?
You have a appetite and zest for living.
My goodness. What's this feeling? What's going on here? You really seem to grab life by the horns. Yeah, that's
eating the top. Wow.
It's all messed up, right?
That's screwy.
Why would you do that? We mentioned a couple of different times. We've been talking a lot about the start of the baseball season, which we're very excited about.
Yeah.
And the River Bandits will be having their home opener on Good Friday.
Home opener, season opener.
Right?
Yeah. They're opening the season at home, which I don't think they have for the last couple of years.
They do 50-50 raffles there at the River Bandits game still, right?
I don't know if they still do it, but they have done it. Yeah.
They have forever, right? There's a couple that went to a Brewers game a couple of years ago.
ERA Shields.
Oh, hang on. They went to a 50-50 game. and they went to a Brewers game and they won the 50-50 raffle.
Yeah.
And they used the money that they won for fertility treatments.
Okay.
And they just had the baby in February and they brought the baby to the Brewers game.
Sure.
Like they wouldn't have been able to have the baby if they hadn't won the money from the 50-50 where it counts raffle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Bubba's.
A newborn at the ballpark. Yeah. Not many do it.
Oh, I think I left one snap. That's why.
But new parents Aaron and Cassie Murphy knew their one-month-old foster was born for baseball.
How does it feel to be here today?
We're so excited.
We're very excited. It's full circle.
Full circle because the two had spent more than a year going through fertility treatment and were running out of resources.
We had kind of spent about $20,000, well, over $20,000 trying to get pregnant unsuccessfully.
Then in April of 2022, the couple went to a Brewers game.
During that game in April, the Murphys did make a purchase. They bought a 50-50 raffle ticket and then didn't think much of it.
I always kind of like the kitschy lottery, like the pull tabs, basket raffles, like any of that kind of stuff. That's a little bit more fun.
They ended up winning that lottery, walking away with $18,000 from the 50-50, and they knew exactly what to do with it.
It was...
Yeah, I mean, we've already thrown 20 grand at this project.
We got to pay this off.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, that's awesome. And the fact that they brought him to the game already is terrific. Normally, I'm not a fan of real little babies being at a baseball game.
No, it's not the best idea.
You know, on account of the flying balls and all. But, yeah, there you go. 50-50 drawing makes a little Brewer fan possible.
His first name, Raphael.
I'm sure I don't have to tell you that the 2023 Men's Curling Championships are going on right now.
They are?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm missing out? Now, this is taking place where?
Oh, that's a great question. I have to assume somewhere overseas, right? I have to assume this is something that's going on in Europe. The World Men Curling Championship. Oh, it's happening, I guess, at TD Place in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Okay, that makes sense.
Uh-huh. There's this Swedish curler who made a shot that is said to be the craziest shot maybe in the history of curling.
Back up. Clutching at straws here.
Fun to see.
Nicholas Eden is this kid's name.
Why not give it an attempt? Just for fun. I wonder if it is the call, actually. So if you play
just greatest curling shot ever.
At the very end, the last few feet, and it tends to actually almost come back up. This would be the best shot in history if made.
And?
Seems like an odd thing to say.
It is.
The crowd with a chuckle. I'm not sure if they're expecting this to actually be a.
Yeah, they don't realize this is an attempt.
Oh. Perfect spot.
Whoa. Got to curl a little bit.
You got to curl. It's curling.
Oh, come on. Come on, Adin. Come on.
This is really close.
It's real close. What's he got here? What's he got? Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Will it sit?
Come on.
No.
Let's go one more.
Oh, he spun back.
Oh, did it go too far?
Tell me it's two.
It has to be two.
That is the absolute craziest shot I've ever seen.
Oh, it has to be two.
Okay, it just looks like curling to me.
Yeah,
I don't understand
why is it so amazing?
What's so crazy about this?
I can't believe what I just saw.
It's sliding, uh-huh. And it bounces into one, and then it just...
How is that any different than anything else?
I mean, when I hear the greatest curling shot of all time, I don't know what I was expecting, but this just looks like curling.
It'll be a measurement of Nicholas Adin.
That's incredible. I have never seen anything like that in my life.
I've always wanted to see it, Tyler. I've always wanted to see one in a world championship.
What?
I never have.
Byron Allen shows up and says, stop saying
I've never
that.
Seen it made in practice, let alone in a world championship. This is incredible.
That is insane. So the gear...
I don't know what's so...
You're all insane.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Back
for
the friction between the stones as it makes contact, just kind of spins that red away. But of course, with that spin, the shooter slips pretty deep. And then the question, does it hang on?
I just don't get it.
You gotta be faithing me. What in the hell are you doing?
What's so exciting about any
thanks,
of
Hawk.
This? Did you see he's complaining that he was pushed out of his job now? He's saying he didn't retire. He was retired.
Yeah, like 20 years too late. Yeah, we had to get rid of you. But he gone.
Yeah, he gone is right. Firing people over Zoom. That has become the new normal.
Yeah, who was the guy that fired all those people over Zoom?
Right. It's like, hey, everybody, we're here to some exciting stuff to talk about.
Was it the owner of Zoom?
The Zoom guy. Got to give you guys all the Zoom Ziggy. People were getting fired over Zoom during the pandemic.
Sure.
That makes sense. Uh-huh. But firing people, look, it's not pleasant to do face-to-face.
No.
Now it says it's becoming more and more common because, one, bosses are choosing to keep employees at home while they break the news. Like, hey, you're at home. You got time for a quick Zoom call?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go ahead and fire you in your house so you're not here.
Then all of a sudden you just hear the car take off. That's not good.
You can't win. At least try to win.
You see someone grab the shotgun and peel out.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
So anyway.
Uh-oh, spaghetti.
Anyway, we're going to have to let you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you think so? You think so, huh? Oh, man. That's
one recent example, McDonald's closed its U.S. offices so it could announce corporate layoffs remotely. One senior vice president at an outplacement firm says that it felt cruel having an employee that works from home travel to the office just to be let go. I mean, I guess I'd rather be at work and to be called into the office like that. I've had that happen. It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I think I would. I don't know if I would prefer to be fired at home or at work. What would you think? We don't want you to come in just so we can tell you you don't work here anymore.
Yeah.
Some remote firings are worse than others, like getting an email in the middle of the night or having your still employed manager tell you over Zoom how hard the layoffs are for them. Yeah. This is going to make things really tough for me, letting all you people go.
Oh, yeah?
That was when I got fired from iHeart. They called me into room.
About what an exciting time this is.
They call me in the general manager's room. And like news had broke that they were firing 1,000 people that day.
Uh-huh.
But they had just told me a couple days earlier that they thought I was terrific. And so I thought, okay, so 1,000 people are getting fired. And they say, hey, we need you to come to a genie's office. And I'm thinking, oh, no. I'm thinking to myself.
Oh no! I thought that was again. The other 1,000 people.
Right? No, like I thought. Okay, they sit me down in the office, and she's got this prepared statement she wants to read, and she starts off by saying, "Today is a very exciting day for iHeart Radio.
Why is that?
Because today we truly become a 21st century audio company." Okay. And she's going on and on reading this paragraph about what a terrific day this is for the company. And then she says, unfortunately, there is going to be some changes made. And I'm thinking in that moment like a dummy.
Oh, that's too bad for other people.
It sucks that a lot of good people are going to lose their job today. But this is the speech they give you that says, we're going to need you to do a little bit more work around here.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You're going to need to,
Right.
There's going to be more on your plate.
So I now have done the... Whew, at least I know I'm not getting canned today.
Yeah.
And she continues to read about what a great day this is. And she goes, unfortunately, you will not be part of any of these changes as today is your last day working here. And I'm telling you, it was like getting hit in the back of the head with a bag of oranges. I was just, and it was like, what? Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
And then she goes on and on about, you know, what a great day it is for them. And yeah. I got to go and I'm going to get walked to my car.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I said, listen, I'm guessing that you're going to be firing more people today.
Yeah.
I don't work here anymore. I'm just telling you as a human being. Yeah.
Don't, you shouldn't be.
You cannot read that again to anyone else.
Yeah. Don't do it this way.
And she says to me, whispers as if she's being taped. She goes, I'm not allowed to say anything that's not on this paper. All right. So long.
Okay, bye.
So, see you next time.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I ended up firing, you know, I think 10 other people that day. And it was 1,000 over the course of the the entire corporation there, such as it was. But the good news is I got out of that situation, and now I'm
here. We persevere.
Yes, yes. And to that end, I guess we should kind of address some changes that are going on with Dave and Darren in our podcast form.
Right. In that, we will have one more patron podcast to do for the month of April. Because we're making up, this is basically...
This is the March show.
This is the March show. So we owe you, the patrons, a show in April. But after that, you will no longer be charged... You will no longer be charged to listen to or have access to all of the shows.
Well, here's the thing. Effective immediately,
yeah.
No one's getting charged to listen to the show.
Right, you're not getting charged.
We have jettisoned the patron program.
Yes.
Because it served its purpose.
Yeah, it served its purpose, and now we're in a much better place. Mm-hmm. And what we will do is continue to, we've got all of our podcasts archived, and you made that possible for us.
Yes.
But now we're basically going to continue to have the Nacho Radio website, but that all of our archives will be available free to everyone.
That is correct. And now, that's not to say that we might not occasionally do shows, because the bulk of the podcasts, I'm sure you've noticed, are kind of best ofs of the radio show.
Yeah.
That is going to continue.
Yeah, we might continue to do some podcasts that are above and beyond what's on the radio show.
Yes, I think it would be in our best interest to do that.
Yeah.
But the idea of patrons, of people paying for Dave and Darren, that is over with. So we got rid of the patron thing yesterday. You will not be charged, and it's a free concert from now on.
Yes.
So again, we should say thank you, but this is... Even this show, even though it's a patron show, it's technically available to everybody.
Right.
So that's going to do it for this patron exclusive show.
Stay tuned because we will have additional shows.
Yes. Yes. We will continue to use this platform to give you the Dave and Darren that you deserve and the Dave and Darren that you need.
And more spooktaculars.
Yes, we'll have an April spooktacular, and we will get that done in the month of April.
Yes, we will.
But that's going to do it for this edition of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thank you for your support, for your patronage, and your listening, and your time investment. I know there's a lot of you who have listened to all of these things.
You wizards, it's been a long and winding road.
It's been crazy. It really is. But... we move on.
It continues, but with some changes.
Yes. Until we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Come on. Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock on.
Come on. And it just don't stop.
East Moline.
Yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Your time is up.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.